from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, how do you feel about your body being scanned at airports with the new machines designed for that purpose, or your children's bodies undergoing scanning procedures, or being patted down? Is all that necessary? And what about concern over radiation exposure? Or do these security measures make you feel more secure? We'll hear from you, our listeners, on that ongoing controversial issue in the first half hour of today's program. In the bottom half hour, we'll hear about ongoing human rights violations and concerns about those violations against gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender people all across the globe. Forum is next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum. A national opt-out day protest has been called for November 24th. That's the day before Thanksgiving and a major day as far as air travel. And the day has been called for opting out, urging travelers not to go along with the new security procedures that call for body scanning or pat-downs in airports. Question is, are you concerned about these procedures, which have been likened to invasions of privacy and, in the case of the patting down, to outright groping? Are the procedures, in your view, invasions and even assaults on privacy? And what about the radiation emitted from X-ray scans? Or are you, like most Americans appear to be, okay with these measures in that they can potentially ensure more security? We invite you, our listeners, to weigh in on your thoughts and feelings about the new TSA procedures this half-hour segment, which have come under heavy criticism, but which most Americans seem to see as a necessary precaution in this age of terrorism threats. So we will hear from you. But first, we want to talk to Joe Sharkey, who is business travel columnist for the New York Times and has been covering this story. He's with us this morning from Tucson, Arizona. And welcome, Joe Sharkey. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Okay. I guess you didn't know that this would, like many of us, hit such a nerve at first when you began to cover it. But there is a nerve that's been hit, or maybe some of it because of John Tyner's video out of San Diego, which had so many hits. But the Gallup poll seems to still show that a majority strongly approve.
I kind of did anticipate this because I've been covering this for, 10 years. Not sure about what the Gallup poll really says. I think if you word a question that says to people who are not accustomed to the airport, the new body scan experience, if you say, do you choose this over, being blown up, 85% or, 95% are going to say, I choose not to be blown up. I think those polls might be squishy. I do understand that people obviously are extremely concerned about, about ensuring safety, and that, of course, is the dilemma of the TSA in not only in these new machines, but with this enhanced pat down, which is an extremely intimate form of patting down. It's not just a light frisking; it's a groping, and there's the TSA makes no bones about that. So I think the result of that is this huge grassroots outcry that we're now dealing with.
What is it doing to air travel? I mean, discouraging it, and what do you expect to see on this opt-out day?
Oh man, that's the day before Thanksgiving, Michael, which is the busiest air travel day of the year, and the national opt-out movement, which is grassroots, which is really grassroots, and it's gone viral. Essentially is a movement to throw a monkey wrench into the system on the day before Thanksgiving. That is, if you're given the choice of going through one of these body scan machines, which are now at about 70 airports, or having the intensive pat-down, you opt for the pat-down is the idea, and that in turn will cause tremendous backouts because obviously very few people opt for the pat-down. And the result will be an extreme amount of confusion at the checkpoints, which worries the security experts because a chaotic checkpoint, for whatever reason, is inherently a checkpoint that's a little less secure than it should be. And, a nimble terrorist can easily look at confusion and think, well, I can create a diversion here. So, I mean, there is that concern.
Well, also, you pointed out in one of the pieces that you wrote about this that there also should be more concern about kids being loaded up with bombs and the like because they're exempt from this. And we're talking about like under 13, I guess.
Well, I mean, you kind of put your finger on the inconsistencies of this whole regime, Michael, and that is, okay, yeah, we understand. I mean, there was this huge outcry about, you know, about groping children. But what is the rationale if you now exempt children? And I understand, I'm glad they do, but what's the rationale there? How, you know, what then, you know, that, that certainly opens up in a pure security sense based on their the way they're looking at things. That opens up an opportunity. The TSA, they're really caught between a rock and a hard place on this, and I myself am astonished, frankly astonished, that they did not see this coming. Because it was obvious that, that there was going to be a huge reaction to the not just the body scanners, but to the groping. I mean, these are really upsetting pat downs, and particularly to women. I mean, you and I might, you know, okay, we may not like being pushed around and you know, and prodded, but with women, this is an entirely different issue. And you know, the TSA is essentially saying just just to, you know, basically live with it, but I don't think that's. I think this reaction is awfully strong.
They might also have some litigation because they said no exception for religions, and there are religions that.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. Why did they not anticipate this?
Well, I don't know. You know, some people are saying Michael Chertoff is getting very wealthy as a result. I don't want to suggest.
Well, Chertoff is the former Homeland Security director, as you know, and he. While he was in office, he was one of the people who pushed most forcefully for the introduction of these body scan, these so-called you know, strip search machines, you know, which see through clothing. And then once he got out of office, Chertoff began a consultancy that represents the one of the very makers of these machines that are now being purchased rather rapidly by the TSA. There are almost 400 of these machines. About more than half of them are the ones that are at issue in terms of radiation. By the way, the other machines are not. All of the machines see through clothing, and there's that privacy issue. You know, but Chertoff and other lobbyists are, you know, they're part of the industry that's selling these machines to the security apparatus.
And there are already reports of thefts of body image from these machines. I mean, it's turned out to be quite a mess quite chaotic, as you're suggesting.
Yeah.
What do we know, though, Joe, about the radiation? I mean, small doses probably no big deal, but scientists really don't know a lot, and they're talking about possibilities of skin cancer for especially frequent flyers and young people and pilots.
Well, TSA has a bunch of studies, and I would recommend anyone who's really interested in this subject to first of all go to the TSA website and give them at least the courtesy of reading their studies, because it's not junk science. They have good studies from the FDA. On the other hand, there are other studies that are valid that are not junk science that are challenging the research that the TSA is using, and I would recommend. Anyone interested, go to the TSA website, read that stuff, and then you can go to a website called epic.org, which is the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and they have a wealth of data, including solid science, that is on the other side, and I would recommend looking at that. Anybody who really is interested, you know, in the medical science, read it.
Well, lots of people
there are issues.
Lots of people interested in registering their concerns here. In fact, I'm going to go to your calls and emails. You can join us toll-free, by the way, at 866-733-6786 or send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. Joe Sharkey with us from Tucson. He's business travel columnist with the New York Times. And let's go to your calls. And Karen, we'll begin with you. Good morning.
Sorry, I had the phone on mute. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I love the new machines. I replaced my right knee in 2001, and I haven't walked through an airline security gate without being patted down since. And the last time I flew, I was in an airport that had the scanner machines, and I walked in a gate, stood there for 3 seconds, and they said, "You're fine." And I said, "I love this. If somebody's seeing at me through my clothes, I can't tell. They're not where I am, and the convenience to me is tremendous."
Okay. I thank you for that call. And, well, that's maybe how a lot of Americans feel, Joe Sharkey. Certainly.
Aaron raises an extremely good point here, because people with hip implants, knee implants, any other kind of metallic implant, they sail right through these machines because the machines do not detect metal. They detect mass. Very good. I mean, that's great for those people. I hear from them all the time, like, hey, I love these machines, and I understand. On the other hand, let's think about women who have had who are breast cancer survivors who are wearing prosthetic bras, that is, bras that have some kind of mass in them, for the first time that is not metallic. These machines are now flagging those women because there's mass on the body, and those women, and that's not metallic, those women are now being subjected to pat-downs. So there's, you know, there is the other side to that that we I don't think we've looked carefully enough at the effect on people like breast cancer survivors being hauled off for a pat-down.
Well, I think we've got another caller who represents the other side, and let's hear from you, Carol, joining us from Westover, Vermont. Good morning.
Good morning. I have, like the earlier caller, had two knee replacements within the past year, and my home airport, which is Hartford, Connecticut, does not have the x-ray machines, so I am subject to the, and I do call it groping. And recently in Atlanta, where there was no x-ray machine, I was not only groped, but I watched a male TSA officer watch the whole experience, which I found very demeaning. I can get a fast pass to go through immigration coming in from a foreign country, but I cannot get anything to fast-track me through the physical pat-down. And I'm very concerned and feel very discriminated against.
Well, I thank you for that call, and it's good that we got those two calls up to sort of show the whole continuum here. I want to go to more of your calls, and we go next to Sonoma Leaf. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. So I got the full treatment last week in Seattle. I'm a business traveler. I travel probably twice a week. Twice a month. Last week in Seattle, I was pulled out, and I had the full body scan, which I never had before. But then they did the full pat down deal, and I thought that was kind of odd. And I said, "Well, gee, is this the new norm? Should I expect this every time?" And the guy said, "No, we just do it to a certain number." And I said, "Well, what number do you do it to?" And he said, "Well, I can't give you an exact percentage. We just try to keep this area here full," which I thought was really kind of an odd way to look at it. You know, it's just like it seemed to me like they were just trying to justify the expense of having the machine there. And as I said, I travel very often. I have never hit additional screening before, so I felt if this is the only time it happens, it's okay. But, it's just kind of a pain in the neck.
Well, I thank you for giving us your experience, Leaf. Thank you for that call. You know, Joe Sharkey, it strikes me, and I keep sort of hearing this anecdotally as well as reading it, why not just do it the way the Israelis do it? I mean, they're very thorough. I know you run into problems with racial profiling potentially and all of that, but they don't necessarily need all of this equipment or all this serious padding down.
Yeah, Michael, of course, the way the Israelis do it works. But it's also extremely time-consuming, and the travel to and from Israel is rather small. I've been through the Israeli kind of inspection, and it does work. I mean, you have somebody who's interviewing you, but we have 2 million people a day going through our checkpoints in our domestic airports, and from everything I understand, is that wouldn't work. It's just too time-consuming.
Let me bring more of our callers on. We'll go next to you, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. I'm going to be flying with my 3-month-old son right after Thanksgiving, and I don't understand if these machines are the new standard, if the metal detector still exists, and what happens? I mean, who holds my baby? Is it better if I opt for the pat-down?
That's a good question. Joe Sharkey?
Danielle, I have always been astonished and stand in awe and admiration of women with small children who manage to get through the checkpoint with grace. because it's all I can do to get me and my laptop hauled through. Everybody goes. If you do encounter the whole body scanners, and you can check on the TSA website, which will TSA.gov, which tells you which airports have them. The TSA screeners are generally helpful. I mean, I think this condemnation of them is rather too broad. Most of them are courteous and helpful, and they kind of understand you have a little baby, and that's an issue, and perhaps they'll help you along. The baby though does get a TSA inspection. I once saw, this is a couple of years ago, I saw a TSA screener actually using one of those wands between an infant's toes. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but it struck me as like totally absurd.
Well, they have a problem in the UK because they're putting, I guess, they have the same line of demarcation. Kids under 13 get to go through the body scanners that are there at the security checkpoints. But mm-hmm. with children who are, say, 13, 14, whatever, violating child porn laws is what we're hearing.
That's the issues are just so complicated on these things, and by the way, Danielle, they will, as I understand it, you will be able to carry your baby. I mean, nobody's going to take the baby. I don't think they've even considered going that far yet.
Just as long as you don't have any gels or lotions in the baby swaddling clothes, right?
Right. Yeah.
We'll get another caller from Ohio. Brian, hi, you're on.
I just have a quick comment. It just seems like it just elevates. You know, we've got these two-minute hates blaming everything on Muslims and Mexicans, and you know we're being watched all the time. We got the Patriot Act, listening to conversations. You know, I think essentially illegally, and now we're being abused at airports. I think this has just gone just too far. The terrorists are winning because our whole lives are being disrupted by these abusive and invasive procedures. I'm a Redditor. I see a lot of things on Reddit all the time about, especially since this has come to be such an issue. Everybody's mad about it. Nobody wants this, So what? Is the government going to listen? Is there some sort of litigation by? Either going to be started by maybe the ACLU or somebody? What's happening on this front?
Well, there's lots happening on this front, as we've heard from Joe Sharkey in the course of this conversation this morning, and certainly I understand your exasperation, indignation. Lots of people feel that way. The reality, though, is that we have been, Joe Sharkey, pretty reactive to every incident that occurs, and one could say that we're kind of being held in bondage here almost.
Well, that's the rap, and I think that rap makes a lot of sense. We Mr. Pistol, who took over as TSA administrator in July, told me, when I talked to him the other day, that he's known for this. He believes in risk management, which is you decide what level of risk you can live with because you can't get 100% security, and that's
he's an old FBI guy too. Yeah.
He's an old FBI guy. He's a cop, okay? And
yeah.
Cops sort of understand that you don't get perfect risk management, but you make judgments. However, I said to him, all right, and he's new to the job. I said, all right, but what you're doing is the opposite of risk management. It's risk overkill. Everybody is a potential terrorist. And, they're kind of stuck with this system. And I don't know how they back out of it, because it's going to take an awful long time to make this a change of course. But they're stuck with this system that we're all terrorists rather than depending on a much higher degree of smart intelligence. Don't forget, intelligence is what caught the most recent incident, which was the ink cartridge attempt to bomb a couple of cargo planes. That wasn't the TSA or a foreign agent, foreign screeners. That was
the Saudis getting information. The Saudis had information that they gave us. That was why we were able to stop that. John, thank you for waiting. Join us. Good morning.
Thank you for having me on. My question is really about the privacy issue, which I think is the other side of the focus of this. With those pictures being saved in the machines, I don't think people have a problem with being viewed by authorized personnel at that spot. But now we have this instance where pictures were saved and then disseminated across the net. What impact is that going to have on the issue? And I'll take my answer off here.
All right. We thank you for the call. Joe Sharkey.
John, I hear you. When I first talked to the TSA a couple of years ago as they were getting these machines ready, they insisted the machines could not keep images. Now, the machines are computers. And I didn't buy that. And now, you know, afterwards, they when they were caught at that, they said the machines would not keep the images, and that, you know, the person who looks at the image doesn't have the ability to, you know, to trigger the machine and they could keep the image. Well, I don't buy that either. And we've seen instances now where the images have been kept in various venues. You know, I'm pretty sure that we're going to see Jennifer Aniston online one of these days. And I don't mean to make light of that, but I think the TSA has not been held to account for the gross invasion of privacy represented by these machines. I think these machines are a very big problem for the TSA and for this nation.
Let me go to some emails here which seem to agree with you, although some people find levity in this. Here's John who writes, here's the solution to the airport full body scanner controversy. If you refuse the body scanner, step into a booth that will not X-ray you but will detonate any explosive device you may have on in your body. If you don't blow up, proceed to the boarding gate.
That's the best idea yet.
And here's Tanya who says, I'm an attorney and used to regularly visit a California prison that utilizes what I believe to be the same body scanner. Here is what the person reading the image can see, is told to me by a guard who read the images. Breast implants, underwire bra, IUD, tampon, diaphragm, cervical cap, menstrual sponge, birth control ring around the cervix, nickel clamp around fallopian tube for certain types of tubal ligations, gastric bypass surgery, banned heart valves, and the list goes on and on. And Evie writes, I have had a pacemaker for 10-plus years, and this requires a pat-down in airports to get through the gates. I must admit that all the TSA agents, I choose women to do the task, have been polite and respectful. Certainly doesn't feel like groping in any way. TSA agents are only doing their jobs. If I can now go through the scanner with a pacemaker, that would be my first choice. But then we have a listener who wants to know, how are the TSA pat-down type people chosen? And is there really a sense of getting people who may be a little more, sensitive, or perhaps making sure there aren't any pervs in there? I think we're not exactly talking about an exhaustive process, are we, John Sharkey, as far as hiring?
Yeah. And if you talk to law enforcement officers, and I hear from cops a lot, you know, cops who have training not only in diffusing tense situations, but in doing things like frisking, that's something you need to learn how to do and do right. Even if you're frisking a perp, you know, there are procedures, and cops are very, very upset about what they think is inadequate training on that. Can I address Tanya's point? There's a bit of confusion about what these machines see. They only see what's on. They see the skin and what's on the skin. So they will not see, for example, a tampon. I don't mean to get indelicate here, but they won't see that. They will see a sanitary napkin. But more to the point, the way that any smart terrorist can circumvent these machines is by placing whatever contraband material you're talking about into a body cavity. They don't see that. So, I mean, that is the essential flaw with the stated purpose of these machines.
That's a major flaw. And we've got just seconds left here. A couple of quick questions for you, Joe Sharkey. Are the machines wide enough for a wheelchair? A listener wants to know. She says, I've been patted down for many years, but because I cannot go through the metal detectors without setting them off, I haven't decided which I prefer, scanner or pat down. But do I have a choice now? Well, yeah, I guess. Another listener writes, I'm a sexual assault survivor being treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. I can't imagine having to choose between physical groping and the risk of radiation. On the other hand, I know that the security threats at airports are real. Did the TSA have any other options for tightening security? Seconds left. Joe Sharkey, did they?
No, and I really cannot imagine the horror of a sexual assault survivor facing this.
Well, on that note, going to have to end this. Thanks, Joe Sharkey. Good to
have you. You're welcome, Michael.
Business travel columnist for the New York Times. More when we return. I'm Michael Krasny.